Yes, give it up for the band leading us in worship. Oh, yesterday, what does that sound? Is that rain? Okay. I never know these days what's happening in this auditorium. We shot our capital campaign video yesterday, and for those of you that are new to our church, we're getting ready to go through a fundraising season for our next big step as a church, and we got to hear some of the stories of life change that are happening in our church, and it was nothing less than amazing. And I can't wait to share some of those stories with you and to know that it represents just a small fraction. I wish we could record them all because all of you have a story to tell, but it was emotional and it was moving. And if you know me, I'm not a super emotional guy, so I'm still recovering from the emotional hangover, so I apologize. But we started a new series last week called Better Together, and this is going to be our theme for all of 2018. And really, the concept centers around community and being within God's will and hearing His voice, and how that being together with God's will makes your life better, and being together inside of a church community makes your life better. And so this week's installment is going to be centered around a cave that we found, and it's too long of a story for me to go into, but what we decided to do in demonstrating to you what Better Together looks like, again, we defined it by its opposite. So we took Tommy and essentially led him down to one place in this pretty expansive cave, and what you're going to see is a camera following behind him. And when I showed this to my wife, I didn't understand that most people maybe aren't familiar with infrared light. Infrared light is a wavelength that your eyes cannot see. So the naked natural eye cannot see infrared light, but a camera can see infrared light. So what you're going to see is someone walking in darkness with a camera person behind them following them. And so we stationed Tommy at one end of the cave, and we stationed Ben at the other end of the cave, and they had to try to find each other in the darkness without us telling them anything. So we got to watch in silence as they struggled to find their way through this cave. And so this is the footage that ensued. And so as you watch this today, I hope that if you're walking in darkness, you might learn to listen for that voice that's going to get you out of the darkness. Would you guys watch this with me?
I really don't know if the next step is, you know, fall 100 feet down or...
Tommy, what's that black thing?
Oh, crap, that's a bat. Oh, gosh.
My voice feels tight.
Ben!
I want to find Tommy pretty bad. He's so dark and quiet.
Tommy! Ben! Ben!
Tommy!
Ben?
Tommy! My butt!
I went the wrong way!
Hey!
How long have we been down here?
Dude, our friends are a bunch of jack wagons.
Ben.
I'm so good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm feeling for you.
Yeah, reach out. Right there it is. Yes. Oh gosh.
So just kind of hug this left
wall. Dude, I'm so glad I found you.
Oh gosh. I seriously thought I was never going to find you, and that I may end up dying down here.
That's all I could think of were some of those orcs. I was waiting for the drumming to start.
You know, never coming back down here.
Hashtag haunted.
Guys, walk the audience through what it was like to be alone in a cave you've never been in, absolute darkness, can't see your hand in front of your face, and you're just wandering through trying to find each other. Give the audience what your perspective was.
Yeah, I mean, you have no sense of direction. You're hoping that the next turn that you make is the right one. So when I was able to finally hear Ben's voice, it gave me a direction. It gave me somebody to move towards. And that changed the dynamic of the whole experience. I mean, once, you know, when you're out there all by yourself, you know, you just don't know where you're going. But then when you hear somebody and you know where you're going, it almost made that last, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes or whatever, finding each other so much better.
All right, what's the song that would keep us warm?
Come together right now over me.
Yes, give it up for the guys putting themselves out there on the line. Man, every week, oh gosh, y'all don't even know what's coming. I just wish that we could just fast forward, but we can't. Man, whenever we were watching behind the camera, it was so interesting to see those guys feeling their way because I could see everything. Like walking behind them with the camera, I could see like a couple of times they bumped in, we couldn't show, but like they hit their faces on the rocks. And I really wanted to say, look out, but I couldn't do it because the footage, right? And so there I was walking behind them and I could see what they couldn't see. And then as soon as I saw through the lens them hear the other person's voice, the relief that both of them experienced, one Josh was following, the other one I was following, it was instant and it was obvious that it was, they felt so much pressure relieved as a result of being able to know they weren't alone anymore. And so it was an amazing, amazing shoot down there in this cave. And I wanted to bring that home for you today. I wanted to talk about the story of Moses. Whenever in Exodus chapter 3, we find Moses is walking in the wilderness and he's leading the sheep from his uncle Jethro. And we know that as he's out there, he's already failed as a result of his anger. His anger boiled up one day, and in his anger, he murdered an Egyptian. Even though some might say it was justifiable because these Egyptians were beaten up on one of his Israelite brothers, and yet at the same time, it caused him to have to go into hiding, because we could really take a synopsis of Moses' first half and say that he tried to do God's will his way. And every time you try to do God's will your way, you end up messing everything up. And so we find Moses, he's walking through this wilderness experience, and it says all of a sudden he saw this burning bush. Are y'all familiar with this story? This bush, it says, was on fire, and yet it wasn't burned up. It says here that he turned aside to look at what was happening. Like intuitively, he knew something was going on here, and it caused him to take a second look. And as he turned and took a second look, it says that a voice called out. Man, I want you to think about that for a moment, that whenever Moses hears this voice, the voice is unmistakable. Yet, it was unfamiliar. It wasn't a voice he had heard for quite some time. It's amazing how you could walk into a church service like this morning, right? And God could speak to you, and his voice would be unmistakable. You're like, God is talking to me. How does that little man on that stage know what I'm going through in my life? It's like he's preaching just to me. And we hear this story over and over again. And I have this secret that I don't really share with anybody else. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in your life. And then the Holy Spirit beams something down to me to beam to you. And so it's not me that's giving you the message. It's God that's giving you the message. And so when you sit in here, it's like, how does he know? How does he know? How does he know? It's like, how does he know? How does he know? How does he know? And so the voice is unmistakable. Yet for many of you, it might be unfamiliar. It might not be some voice that you've heard for some time. And the voice came from this unexpected place. I dare say, at an unexpected time. Moses had been doing this for 40 years. Moses had been walking in his mistake for 40 years. Moses had been walking in his failure for 40 years. And I would just guess that there might be at least one or two sitting in an audience this size that maybe this morning you're walking in your wilderness. Maybe there's something that you've done in your past and it follows you around daily. Something you've been unable to get off your chest, something you've been unable to get past. And every day that you're walking in the wilderness, it's a reminder of where you once were and maybe what you once had. Moses grew up in the palace. Pharaoh's son, a child of favor, everything that he could ever want, he had. And now he's lost everything. Man, walking in the wilderness, he hears a voice. He sees something. He stops. I wonder, as we pick up this beginning of Moses' renewal and restoration, I wonder if we can look at this concept of the appearance of over. The appearance of over. Because I believe that as we see Moses, if you would have never met Moses, if you didn't know the whole story of Moses, which most of you do, and you saw this dude out on the backside of a wilderness wandering around by himself with a bunch of sheep, you probably would not say, that is the chosen one of God. Look at the blessings that are all over him. Because when you're leading sheep, it has a certain smell. Anybody, 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 anybody. When the wind blows just right, the FFA building right over here behind us kind of gradually drifts across here. And the smell that was around Moses described the status of his life at that juncture. And there he was. There he was. From all indications, it appears as though God is done with Moses and that Moses had his chance, right? He had his, God had told him what he was going to do with him, but because he tried to do God's will his way, his moment had passed and now it was over. But what if I told you this morning that the appearance of over is your greatest opportunity? The appearance of over is your greatest opportunity. And I want to tell you why. Because it's only the appearance of over. And what I mean by that is that whenever you think of Moses, he had got to the end of himself. Can anybody relate to this? Like, did you find God when you were at the pinnacle of yourself? Or did you find God when you got to the end of yourself? Can I get an amen? Yes, it's only when you get to the end of your strength, when you get to the end of your plan, when you've exhausted your resources and exigent circumstances are bringing to bear every day of your life, there's this pressure and you're looking for some kind of relief. I wonder if anyone in here has ever blown through God's blessing that was on your life, still trying to do it your way. I wonder if anybody's anger, like Moses, has ever consumed your calling, that you allowed your feelings to take precedent over someone else's opportunity for freedom. You remember his calling, right? He was called to lead his people out. But as a result of his feelings getting out of control, he said, my feelings about this one circumstance were worth the freedom that I'm going to cost everyone else. Do you realize that other people's freedom hang in the balance of your feelings? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that when your feelings get out of control? That when your lust gets out of control, when your anger gets out of control, when your envy gets out of control, that the ones that you've been called to lead to freedom, that their fate hangs in the balance of whether or not you can balance out those feelings. Moses was born into a position of blessing, and now he's burned through it, and he's at the appearance of over, and he sees something, and God's trying to get his attention. I wonder if anyone in here feels like you're useless to God. Wouldn't it be sad if someone sat in a house of worship and didn't feel useful in the hands of God because of something you had said, something you had done, something someone told you about you that you believed, even though it's different than what God says about you? Wouldn't it be sad if someone was sitting here in the place of hope, feeling hopeless? the appearance of over. As I was thinking about how to illustrate this to you, I did some research. And there was this guy named Angelo Hayes in 1937. He was riding on a motorcycle. He wrecked, flew off the motorcycle, hit a wall, and went into a coma. He was all of 18, 19 years old. Unfortunately, they thought he was dead. So they put him in a coffin and they buried him. There was an insurance policy that had just coincidentally been taken out on him, and the insurance company thought that the father who took out the insurance policy might have been trying to commit fraud. And so they decided to dig up the body to make sure there was someone in there. When they exhumed the body, after 2 days of being in the ground, they found a young man whose heart was barely beating. The guy goes on, after several procedures, to make a full recovery, and then invented a coffin that had an alarm system that you could pull a string and the bell would ring up above just in case you got buried alive. You can't make this stuff up. What is the point of the story? They had put him in the ground. That was the appearance of over, if there ever was an over. And yet, on the third day, they dug him up and his heart was still beating. What I'm trying to say is, if your heart is beating in here, it may have the appearance of over, but that doesn't mean it's over. Others might say about you, it's over. You might even feel inside yourself, it's over. But I'm telling you, if you would just look around, God is trying to get your attention this morning. The appearance of over is, I believe, your greatest opportunity, because only God can step in when you've got to that place where you feel like it's over. Only God can bring you back when you get to that place where you feel like it's over. And when God does it, it'll be unmistakable that it was His hand that guided you through that wilderness when you were walking alone. Man, we pick up Moses' story and he sees this burning bush. And then he hears this voice. And I thought about the approach, and I don't even have time to preach this, but how you approach God is important in the story. Again, this is not even in the sermon, so just like, you know, it's not going to be up there on the screen. But whenever he heard the voice, God said, "Take off your shoes, because the ground you're standing on is holy." Now, you need to understand something. That piece of ground was not uniquely holy of all the places. When God spoke the world into existence, He didn't say, "This shall be holy ground," all right? It's not the place that makes it holy. It's the person that makes it holy. You can go into a lot of places of worship, but if the person of God isn't there, it's not holy. And the church said, amen. Yes, that's just for free. You don't even have to pay for that one. He sees this fire, and something inside of him said, take a second look, a double take. Have you ever seen something? I don't know if you ever like are driving down the road, and I'm one of those people, man, if I see an accident, I gotta look, right? I don't know, is anybody else in here like that? Like, I gotta see, is it a mangled car? I don't know, I just gotta look, you know? It's like, oh, and like every now and then, you see some crazy stuff that's out there in this world, right? And so here, I want us to notice that God is going to suspend what Moses thinks he knows in order to reveal to him what he doesn't know. And so many people walk around every day believing that you know, you're so smart, You are like floating down the river of you know, right? And all these other people are just getting on your ship of all the stuff that you know. And then all of a sudden, God comes along and he has a way of like, shaboom, blowing up everything that you think you know. Because if you think you know everything, and if you are arrogant and you're puffed up in your pride, and you feel like you're always going to be able to get out of this situation and escape all of your mistakes, then you, all of a sudden you develop this pride that's going to get you in trouble. And one of these days, the enemy will position you just so that you're on the edge of that cliff, and the moment that you think you'll never slip is when he gives you that last push. Moses, whenever he saw the Egyptian beating up the Hebrew child, pushed into the abyss. And now God shows him something weird, something strange. Because I think we can all agree and we can all understand the natural realm. You light something on fire and it burns up. That's natural. That's normal. When you light something on fire and it doesn't burn up, now that's not natural. And he doesn't speak to him until he shifts his perspective about the thing that he's seeing. If you go back and read it, it's very subtle, but it's very profound. He's walking. He sees something. It says he approached the thing that he saw to see what he was looking at. He's looking through a different lens at the thing that he was already looking. It was already there, but until he shifted his perspective, he wasn't going to hear the voice. Until you shift your perspective about what you're seeing every day in life, God is doing the miraculous every day around you. He's revealing his will, himself, his God-ordained size plan for your life every single day. But until you shift the way you look at life, until you say it's better together with God's will, you're never going to hear the voice of God. He suspended the natural. Moses double takes. And as a result of his double take, a different dimension is opened up. He moves from the natural to the supernatural. And he hears the voice of God. Moses, I want to use you. Moses, I want to use your life. Moses, you had the appearance of over, but that was just an opportunity. You've had 40 years to think about it, and now we're going to take a second chance. Now we're going to try again, and maybe this time we can do it my way. Someone is sitting in here today, and it's been a while since you've heard the voice of God. And you might have had a life that made some mistakes, and it might have had the appearance and the aroma of it's over, and yet God is showing you something right here, right now, in this moment, maybe an unexpected place, maybe an unexpected voice, and yet it's calling to you. It may be unfamiliar, but it is unmistakable that God is trying to say something to you, that unless you shift your perspective, you'll never hear my voice. But if you would take a second look today, take a second look about what God might have for your life, I will guarantee you that he will meet you in the darkness. That you would hear him even though you're walking in your wilderness. And he would say, if you would take a second look, I'll give you a second chance. He says, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I see their affliction and their suffering. And God's heart is always, always to set hurting people free. God's heart is always to see your hurt. He hears your cry. He sees your affliction. He knows what people have done to you, maybe are doing to you. And his heart is to help you. He told Moses, if you will trust me, I will use you to save a nation. I mean, does it get bigger than that when it comes to calling? If you'll trust me, I'll use you to save a nation. He said, Moses, it's bigger than you. The message from the voice as he suspended all that Moses had known. Moses used his fist, right? That's what he used. When he rose up and he killed the Egyptian, he used his fist. He used his strength. And now he's saying, we're going to move from the natural to the supernatural. And you're not going to use your strength. You're going to use my strength. When they ask you who it is that sent you, you say, I am sent you. And they may be unfamiliar with who I am, but it'll be unmistakable what I do when I set them free. You see what I'm saying? He said, Moses, it's not about you. It's bigger than you. That's what God would tell you this morning. He's trying to suspend all that you think you know and show you that there's some level that exists beyond you, beyond the natural, in the supernatural, that is bigger than you. He showed Moses a picture, a panoramic picture of purpose. He said, Moses, this is what could be. This is what could be. As a matter of fact, Moses, before you stepped in and started doing it your way, this is what was meant to be. I want you to think about that this morning. God has a plan for your life that was meant to be. He ordered your steps, the Bible says, before you were ever born. There is a path that was meant to be. I just want to ask you the question, are you walking it? Are you walking what was meant to be this morning? Or are you still doing it your own way? How much longer do you want to wander in the wilderness? How much longer do you want to exhaust God's blessing on trying to do it with your hand? God is trying to show you that there is a way that is above your way. And that way is so much better than your way. And that if you would listen for just a moment, he would show you that there's a means and a path and a purpose beyond the natural and the supernatural. And he's constantly trying to get your attention to do a double take to see if you would like to unlock a different dimension this morning. I illustrate with Brother Jonah. Is anybody familiar with Brother Jonah? Jonah, the one who got on the ship to go the opposite direction. And if you go and take your little compass out and stretch out the distance, where he was trying to go was this place called Tarshish. Where God called him was this place called Nineveh. Tarshish was twice as far away than Nineveh was to where his current location was. That means in his pride, he was willing to work twice as hard to go the wrong way. Now, what God showed me just last night as I was preparing for this message is that Jonah, listen to this, got in something man-made, right? A boat. He got in something man-made to run from something God breathed. Now watch. He got in something man-made to run from something God breathed. And then all of a sudden, what did God do? What God always does, he suspended the natural, right? He suspended everything that Jonah thought he knew, because Jonah thought he was in charge of his fate. He was in charge of his destiny. He was in charge of his purpose. And then God used something God made to swallow him up, to restore him back to his rightful purpose and his rightful place. I'm telling you, God is trying to get your attention. You may be running in something man-made, but you have something God breathed, something God ordained that he put inside of you. And he's trying to draw it out this morning. If you would just take a second look, man, there might be a second chance that would change not only your fate, but the fate of so many others. Man, he heard the voice of God. And the voice of God said, Moses, I'm going to use you to save a nation. Man, that my voice is going to lead you. Man, the voice of God is what you need to hear this morning. I think the writer in the New Testament said it best. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. It wasn't what he saw that gave him hope. It was what he heard. He heard the voice of God calling out from the burning bush and said, I want to use you to save a people. You know, we could just title that last point in your outline, The Voice Will. The Voice Will. And really, I have some things that I could say there. But for you personally this morning, whatever you need from God this morning, the voice will. Whatever you have that's hurting, the voice will fix it. The voice will solve it. The voice will heal it. The voice will restore it. The voice will resurrect it. I mean, the voice will. The voice was willing to give Moses a second chance, to give him grace, to guide him into something foreign. Now, this is where I think that most of us fumble, is with the foreign. You see, none of us naturally understand the supernatural. When you walk in here and you are new to the things of God, this environment feels foreign, okay? And I'm going to tell you something, that's normal. You as a sinner, you as someone who might be far from God by the choices that you've made, when you walk into God's house and you feel the Spirit of God, it's going to feel foreign. It's going to be like, this just, I don't know about, it just feels weird. All these people and they're doing these things and they're singing out loud, and I might do that in my car, I might do it in my shower, but like that person beside me, they might hear me, and that's just weird. And like holding up my hands, it's not like someone scored a touchdown. I don't understand. It feels weird. I want you to know that's normal. That's normal. If you walked in here this morning and you feel like that, that's normal. But what if I told you that God was trying to take you from the natural, how you normally feel, and move you to the supernatural? What if God was trying to let you hear his voice, and he said, Moses, I know you don't see it in yourself. Moses said, I can't speak very well. I'm not a good leader. I don't have that gift. And he made every excuse in the book to try to stay stuck in the wilderness, though God was telling him what he created him to do and what he created him to be. And he said, Moses, if you would just listen to me for a moment, I put something in you, and I know what I put in you, and it doesn't matter how you feel about you, I'm trying to push you and guide you into something that's foreign. The posture of a leader was not normal for him. The position of going before Pharaoh and making a demand was not something he had done before. And God might be calling you this morning and saying, I know you don't see it in yourself, but I know what I put inside you because I made it. And you might believe you're junk because someone else told you that or you told yourself that, but I do not make trash. I only make treasure. And this morning, if you believe that about yourself, you are denying your maker. If I could crack you open and show you a picture of your heart, I guarantee you inside your heart is the fingerprint of God. The Creator's mark is inside all of us. And he made you for a purpose. And when you agree that the voice of God is more important than anything else in your life, that the voice of God is something that you must follow, and you must do whatever it asks. You must go wherever it wants. You must talk to whoever he says to talk to, and you must put aside your biases, your prejudices, everything that is natural. Because if you put your life in God's hands, he opens a dimension. He says, I will do supernatural things with your natural life. Wouldn't you love to get to the end and look back and see that God used you to do incredible things? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for this morning? The only answer to start the journey is yes. If you would say yes to God this morning, it would change everything. The appearance of over is your greatest opportunity. I remember when they laid Jesus in the grave. Boy, that had the appearance of over, didn't it? All the disciples said, it's over. Pilate thought it was over. The Pharisees that falsely accused him thought they had finally vanquished this upstart rebel who had gathered a crowd of thousands to their crowd of hundreds. And my goodness, we nailed him to a cross and publicly ridiculed him and put a spear in his side. And now all those that followed him certainly know who has the power. Oh, but it just had the appearance of over, didn't it? Wasn't that an incredible opportunity for God to step in to what appeared to be over, to demonstrate that the natural has no power over the supernatural, and that if the disciples on the third day could just take a second look, that he might just give them a second chance to go out and change the world with the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's when the church said, amen. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, it's not over until you breathe your last. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, join us in this moment and encourage the hearts of the slaves. God, reach out and touch those who are hurting this morning. And God, set them free. Don't let them waste another day walking in the wilderness. We've all made mistakes, folks. We've all blown it. It's not a matter of whether you'll make a mistake. It's whether or not you'll course correct. There's not one exit ramp to God's will for your life. There are so many entrance ramps. He's like, if you'll just get back on, I'll take you to what you were meant to be. Man, if you believe that this morning, if he's let you back on, if he's given you a second chance, isn't he worthy of your worship? We're going to take a moment right now to honor Jesus, the one who rose from the grave and the only one who's able to set us free from our sins. Would you guys rise with us as we worship?